controller. Trying something a little different tonight with these microphones. And then secondly, sometimes my poor wife over there, I see her, she's got sensitivity tonight with her eyes, so she got those glasses on. I don't want somebody to think, somebody to go way back to the days of the New Orleans Saints when they didn't win any games, and they used to call them the New Orleans Aints, and they used to wear bags over their heads, all their fans, because they didn't want to associate with the team. Okay, it's not like that. Nothing like that. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to talk a few minutes tonight about a topic that I'd like to have more of, and everyone here probably would want the same. I mean, if I asked you tonight, if you could have anything at all, what would you have? If you had a choice of anything you could take, anything you could have at all, what would it be? Would it be money, good health, big house, a promise that maybe your children will all live for the Lord, good job, extra vacations, maybe getting a diploma without going through all the motions, or just maybe a clean house, the elimination of clutter, becoming a professional athlete, becoming a famous missionary. Everyone probably would think something different, what it would be tonight for them. As we pray, let's think about that. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for this time, Lord, tonight, Lord. Lord, I sorely need this, Father. Pray, Father, you give me the words to say, Lord. And I pray you work on each of our hearts and minds right now, Lord. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, why don't we turn to 1 Kings for a moment. Chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in uprightness, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not thyself long life, neither hast thou asked for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, according to thy words, lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there be not any, shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." I mean, it looks like here that God would have given Solomon anything he asked for, just like we just mentioned here. And, you know, we're not going to monitor what we all thought. You know, we're sitting in the audience, in the pews, you want to think, oh boy, I better think of something. What would God want me to have? I want to show off everybody that I'm holy and reverent. But let's face it, sometimes, you know, a few bucks in the pocket you'd like, a car that's going to start when you go out there tonight, be nice. It's nice. Maybe to stay away from Baltimore for a few days, something. I mean, he could have asked and requested some other things. We know of his father David. His father, King David, had just died. David had given his son Solomon a laundry list of things to carry out. I mean, David mentioned to him to kill certain people, including his old right-hand man, Joab. Now, David, when he was alive, he couldn't try to eliminate Joab because Joab had too much on him. See, David was a politician, and he had to play the part with Joab. He had to be careful. But now that David was going to die, he was going to have his son carry out this dirty work. I mean, David left Solomon, his son, with some messy situations here. And speaking of that, adding on to the message on Sunday, folks, you don't want to leave your children with messy situations. You don't want to leave them with any kind of messy situations. None of us really know how long we have. We know that. Whether you're sitting in a hospital bed in the Wilmot Center, whether you're in an airplane on your way to New York tonight, we don't know. No one knows right now in this room, I believe, how long you have. But each day you should try to prepare for something. Prepare for something, maybe for tomorrow sometime, something. Maybe pray a little more. Maybe fix something in the house. Talk to somebody you wouldn't talk to yesterday. Treat somebody nicer today or than you did yesterday. Maybe make sure your will is set. All right? I mean, there's all things to prepare for. Brother Bill, you got your yellow card on you tonight? Okay. There's another thing you can prepare for. Bill has a yellow card in his wallet, and my family says, "Why do you got to be morbid?" But I think Christians too. Everybody in this world spends too much money on, besides coffee, too much money on two things: weddings and funerals. I mean, to me, if we believe like we believe, I don't know why we're taking, you know, the old Italian days, 3-4 days to lay. You know, to be laid out and see the person and all that. The person's dead, they're dead. That's the right way I look at it. These little yellow cards, it's called Anatomical Gift Program. My name's at the top, signed by the Anatomical Gift Program Director. And when I go, so does my body. Right over to Tom and Ben's office over there. Well, we got to work that out because you might have to pay for the hospital drive there, but my kids know how to do it. They know that if I got a heart attack, they just put me in the car, drive me there, yell out that their father's not breathing. They'll drag me out, take off. But they'll use the body there. They'll use all the body parts, and if you're young enough, they'll use them all. All right? If not, there may be a doggy bag returned in time. I'm not sure about all that. Anyway, but you want to care. You want to make sure you prepare. Last Pastor Campbell already mentioned Sunday. So getting back to David, David still probably had some enemies after he had died, left after his death. Solomon could have asked God for peace and maybe protection from these enemies who wanted to take care of his father and put him out. Maybe somebody wanted to kill him. Maybe he could have asked for a better relationship. Solomon could have asked for a better relationship with his own family. I mean, how many stepmoms does Solomon have? 6 or 7? Nobody's going to top that here. You may talk about your mother. You may talk about your stepmother. You may talk about your mother-in-law. Don't. But 6 or 7 stepmothers? You know, he could have asked for a little prayer in that situation. God, get me a, move these women away or something. But you know what? He had some brothers. We know Solomon had some brothers who weren't Boy Scouts, killing each other. Maybe he could have asked the old-timers sitting on the park bench by the country store over there. The old-timers stopped making cracks about his mom and how she and dad got together. I mean, the whole thing was on the Jerusalem Nightly News and CNN for, you know, for months. I mean, the names they called his mom, I'm sure. But no, he asked for wisdom. He asked for wisdom. I'll turn to Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." See, people want to be happy. They really do. Do you want to be happy? Some of the people here say, "I want to be happy. I want to be happy." Other people are saying, "Well, you just don't know my life. You don't know what I've got to live with." As Pastor Kim already said, over that Wilmont Center, when you go and visit that lady over there who's dying, perhaps, maybe not dying, maybe she's going to live another 30 years. Maybe she'll outlive us. From day to day, you never know. I believe she's going to live a lot longer than we think, because she's a soldier. She's a soldier. And she praises God every day. And she gets good news and bad news, and she's happy when you walk in. She lifts you up when you walk in. I believe she's going to have a long life. And you know what? The Bible tells us here in this verse, if you find wisdom, you're happy. And how about that verse we all know of? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And I believe that merry heart is me, my merry heart, being good for somebody maybe that's not doing well over here. Maybe my merry heart will lift somebody up all over here from the bad day they're having. While I'm at it, let me turn to Job. There's a couple of verses I found too. Job chapter 13, verse 5. That one in Romans, Proverbs 17. Job chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." Oh, boy, if you just, why don't you just shut up? Maybe that's wisdom for you. Proverbs 17, 28 says, "Even a fool when he holdeth his peace is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Wow, I don't know if that helps anybody here tonight or not. I like that verse, though, there. Oh. You know what? Do you have godly wisdom tonight? Do I have it? I need it. I need it. You know, wisdom is not necessarily the same thing as knowledge. You know, many an old wise man never went to college. But there are many people who have years of education and gathered much, much knowledge. But they have to ask themselves, too, do they have that wisdom from above that we like? I think of the who and the what and the when. The who is the Lord, shows us what to do and when to do it. I'm a simple guy, and to me that's wisdom. What to do and when to do it. And you ask God that. God, what do I do? When do I do it? It's a simple definition to a word that really is powerful. Wisdom. Turn to James chapter 3. This is an easy message to understand, not a long message, and you should be able to get it down and understand just by reading your Bible, really. James chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitterness, have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Now, we might have this type of wisdom. If we have problems with meekness, pride, our mouth, feeling like we have to let everyone know what goes on in your life every minute. I mean, you can't, something goes on, you got to tell somebody about it. And you got to let everybody know. And then maybe you're upset that others don't tell you what's going on in their life every minute. Because we got to tell people. We got to know, why. What are you doing this for? What are you doing this for? That drives me crazy when I hear stuff like that. There's a word in the Bible for that. But you know what? I guess that's one of the reasons Facebook and other internet devices are there for. Facebook can be very good, but I think what goes on in some of these is that people may use this for gossip and may use this for not using any kind of godly wisdom at all. It would be wise to watch out what you say in these things. That's simple. That's not offensive, I just said. I mean, we've said it before many times in this pulpit. You go get a job, and most companies nowadays have your, with all of Facebook and YouTube and all those things, I don't know what they're all called now, and Graham and, what are they called? I don't know, Instagram and whatever they're all called. And they already have all that. When you walk into the room, or shortly there when you walk out of the room after an interview, they have all that. They know, really, when you come in and you look real nice in your suit and tie and you have your hands like this, and then they look and they're saying, is this the same person who was in my room? This guy's at some bar or some place, some sporting event, screaming and yelling and going crazy and, you know, taking his shirt off and having, you know, or wearing a piece of cheese on his head. And they're looking at that and they're saying, this is the kind of guy we... No, a lot of companies don't care about that. We know that. But you know, everything that you... I mean, every place you really walk nowadays, the bank and store, you're going to be on the screen. I wave to all of them now. Just wave them. Why not? Give them what they want. But I wave to all of them. And you have to think about that. Use your wisdom. Be wise in what you're going to do in these situations. I mean, it's not really, it's not really a tough thing to understand. I mean, really, if you consider yourself and wise in being these other ways I'm talking about, I mean, this talks about this earthly, sensual, devilish, you know, what appeals to the world, that's earthly. Sensual is what appeals to the senses. Simple word. It's not a bad word. It appeals to the senses. And people know what appeals to the senses, and that's what they try to... That's the kind of wisdom this world is talking about. Or devilish, which is not obviously God's way. It's the devil's way. Simple. Simple definition from a simple guy. It's God's way. Could we possibly be that way? I mean, do we ever want God on our terms? Maybe when you pray, you're demanding God to take care of these things rather than ask for help. I mean, I don't know. Are we telling God, we expect God to do certain things? Lord, take care of the situation over here, Lord. And like you're a manager someplace. Lord, take care of this and take care of that and do this. And I mean, I don't know what the Lord is thinking when we talk like that to him. Really? I know if we were God, what we'd be saying. We'd be saying, oh, yeah? You really think so? Really? Or as long as it fits in our plans, you know, thank you, God. It's okay. But if something doesn't fit in our plans, we've all been there. The day doesn't turn out right. The week doesn't turn out right. Maybe the last few years doesn't turn out right. And all of a sudden, he's no longer the great God. And we're no longer the great follower of the Lord we were before things were going on, right? I mean, that's why going to see a woman in the hospital who can lift you up, you just have to think about that sometimes. What's with us? What's with us? I mean, that's why I think God has us to have people afflicted in many ways. Because we need to pray. He doesn't really need us praying. Really, does he? I mean, he was fine before we all came along here. 6,000 years ago, I mean, he was fine. He didn't have any issues or anything. I mean, he didn't have to flip a coin to real. He knew what was going to go on already. He didn't have to flip a coin and say, I wonder if Eve's going to take a bite of that thing. He knew already. We think we're going to try to fool him because we're wise. We're really wise. We're going to try to trick God because he doesn't really know what we're going to do next. Okay, if that's what you want to think. I mean, are we quick to condemn others? Are we convict and condemn others for something they may have said? But what about the things we've said? That's what I always repeat in my family all the time. I said, well, you know what? What have we said? What have we done? What have we said? You got to be careful. Careful. Turn back to James chapter 1. Let's read here what God lays out on how to obtain wisdom from above, really. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Now, it looks to me like only pride will just is the one that's going to stop us from getting more of this wisdom. I mean, it's the first thing he asks here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It's to realize that we lack wisdom. Just like when we're sinners and lost, we have to realize that we're sinners, we're lost, and what we deserve. I mean, we need to let God know that we're aware of that. We're acknowledging that we need God and we lack wisdom. Number one, boom. We know it, we need it, we lack it. Help us. Am I doing things my way or am I doing things his way? Well, wait a second, though. I know how to lead my family. I deal with situations, how to deal with my spouse. I don't really need God's input. That's what we say sometimes. That's what I say sometimes. Or are we telling God that we do need him and don't know what we're doing? That's what he wants to do. He wants us to come. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to all men liberally. The Bible says we receive it liberally or generously and upbraideth not. That means not reproving, not rebuking, not treating harshly, but kindly, like we do. Like we do. When someone asks us a question in the house or someplace else, or we respond to somebody, upbraideth not, kindly. This is all an example for us to look at. God puts everything in his book for an example for us. We read the Bible. I've read it through. But are you obtaining that wisdom that he says can receive it liberally or generously? Kindly? Is that the way we when someone perhaps come to us and how we treat other people? Kindness all the time? That's what God says. They giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God says, no, I'm not going to hang you right here. We're going to give it to you generously. We're not going to give you a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He says liberally. Liberally. God give it to all men liberally. If any of you lack, let him ask of God. And then in verse 6 it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now this is the key too. It says in faith, nothing wavering. Just like as we need to be saved, the plan of salvation, in faith, we need to have faith. Same thing here in wisdom. You have the faith to obey what he says. I mean, he says here, if you acknowledge to him that you lack it and know nothing and ask and have the faith in him without wavering. This is where it's tough for us because our faith does waver. Because as it says right after that, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Is that our faith? One day things are good. And one day, all of a sudden, things aren't too good, and we're just against the wall. And one day, this way. I mean, don't you think God knows what's happening to all of us? What's happened? What's going to happen tomorrow? I mean, really, my guess is not too many, as bad as things get in our lives, is it as bad as any of the things that probably have gone into Mongolia in the last 50 years? Living over there. I know when Brother White was living over there, they wanted to live just like those people over there lived. They lived in some sort of an igloo with a fireplace in the middle, 80 below zero. Yeah, that was okay. I got it tough. Turn the heat up. I mean, where's our wavering? Is our wavering like, well, we can, I have faith in God that I'm asking in faith. But maybe money is really, I'm wavering because I need a little money. Or maybe it's rubies. Rubies may be the greatest thing to have. Isn't that what they talked about earlier? Must be rubies. Rubies are the best thing to have. Have rubies. Get rubies. Talks about wisdom being better than that. Right? If it's still the wisdom you're looking for, don't waver. Ask him in faith. It says you will have this wisdom beyond measure, not just bits and pieces now and then. God said liberally, and he said he will do it. See, our humility in asking triggers the wisdom to come liberally. That's what it basically is. Very simple tonight. Very simple. Our humility in telling him that we know nothing, we need him, we want wisdom, please give us wisdom. Because we all have big decisions to make in here. Everybody in this room has a big decision to make, and you're saying, well, not today, maybe tomorrow you will. It may be getting, whether you get that car fixed one more time. Whether it be as so-and-so, they're going to go to college, or they're going to get this job, or you're going to switch jobs, or you're going to send the car to this person, or call this person up. I mean, we all have big decisions. A big decision for me may not be the big decision for somebody else. I mean, Brother Matichera called me today. In fact, let me get the phone ready in case he calls me now during the service here. He calls me regularly every day, and I'm going to Sicily. And I'm sitting back today when he's calling, Charlie, pray for me. I said, what's wrong today, Joe? He said, I got a house. It looks I'm going to have to pay 4 months before I move in. I said, that's good. So it'll still be there when you get back. Well, I'm going to need a car. He said, okay, you get a car. I said, Joe, it's okay. You'll get it. He said, yeah, but you don't understand. I've got to go back to Africa. I said, it's okay. Now, it's easy for me because I'm not in that fire or situation he's sitting right now. So he's making some big decisions, and he needs God's wisdom right now to make these decisions. What do I do? And he said, could you check out some tickets? We got to go back to Africa in early June. I said, okay, we'll check out tickets. We'll get 3 weeks, and he's going to come back from Africa, and he's going to go again to Sicily. And he said, he's getting a little nervous about it. But that's a time when it comes, ask God, help me. Lord, help me. Give me some wisdom. I need it liberally, please. I mean, everybody here has somebody probably, as you get of age, where somebody's depending on you for something. It may be just emptying the garbage. You're supposed to empty the garbage today. I'm depending on you to empty the garbage. Maybe I'm depending on you to check. Maybe I'm depending on you to pray for me today because I'm going to be in a situation. Or maybe on and on and on. I mean, I wrote down a couple things that wisdom could help me. It may do. Basically, this is the whole message. What will more wisdom do for everybody in this house tonight? What will it do? Will you go home? Will you ask? Say, God, you know, I thought I could do it all. Or I just figured you give me wisdom every day, and you're going to come to me and give it to me because you know when I need it. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It should be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You really have faith. Help me. Help me. Wisdom may shelter us from some troubles. Wisdom may strengthen us through sufferings by knowing what God wants. Just by asking. Wisdom may stop our conceit from our abilities. Wisdom may stop us from finding fault in others. Getting wisdom may stop us busying in other matters of others. Wisdom may help us avoid sin that ruins our health. Wisdom may help us avoid sin that ruins our walk. Wisdom may help us disregard much of what others say good of us, which usually ends up increasing our pride. Wisdom may help us disregard much of what others say ill of us that would increase our anger or passion. Wisdom may help us, when any harm is done to us, to examine ourselves whether we have done the same to others. Wisdom may help us walk in other people's sadness. Wisdom may help us talk when we should and say what we should and when we should and when we shouldn't and what we shouldn't. Wisdom may make us think more than we talk. That'd be nice. Wisdom may make us think ahead and not be hasty in speaking. Wisdom may allow us to realize that now is the time to do it, not tomorrow. Because once again, we don't know if there's going to be tomorrow. Wisdom may help us realize how important things really are. Wisdom may help us to wait before drawing hasty assumptions or conclusions. Wisdom may help us not to join bandwagons too quickly. Wisdom may help us realize that it's not my job to change you. God will hopefully change me, but he'll do the same for you. It's not my job. I can't make you the way I want you to be. I can pray for you. You need to pray to God. You need to ask him for wisdom. You need to come to him and say, I'm helpless. I need wisdom. I don't know anything. Wisdom may help us grow in crisis situations. Wisdom may help us see that not everything is black and white in life, like we like to think, like when you're younger. Wisdom may help us realize that we should not be totally selfish or totally selfless. For example, totally selfless, we think it's always good to be selfless. But there's times when you're not. Like if you're on the airplane and they're telling you to get those oxygen masks on because something's going to happen bad, you want to put your oxygen mask on first, because you letting everybody else putting on first isn't good. You need to be helping others. You put your oxygen mask on first, and then you can help other people put theirs on. Or being selfish by maybe pursuing personal gain at the expense of others, which can destroy relationships and reputations. Wisdom can help us take instruction humbly, can help us take criticism humbly. Wisdom can help us handle rejection and failure. One that I like, wisdom can help us pay less than full price at times. God says, ask him. Wisdom may help us avoid unnecessary spending. I mean, is it in the form of abundant drinks or that fourth cooler or 12th pair of pants that you never wear? I mean, somebody should make that up. There should be certain ages when you need and don't need certain things, really. I mean, I think when you get to be, you know, 60, 70, 80, really, what do you need, really? What else do you need at that point in life? You got the food, you got the pair of pants or whatever, you got the car that runs. I mean, because you know, remember, guys, when you start filling up things, maybe you want all the extras in your cars, or maybe you want 25 different suits or things in the home and everything else. Who's going to take care of that someday? Right? I mean, on the subject, wisdom may help us avoid that this week's sale of the century. Right? Or help us avoid that shopping trip when there's not really a goal. You know, wisdom could do a lot of things, but we need to go to God for it. We need to go to God. God says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom may help us spend more time with our family if we talk to God about it. God, help me decide how I perform. Give me some wisdom, Lord, please, on how I can work this out and spend more time with my family. Help, Lord, to work the situation out so I can worry less about what others say about me. Help me not to live so seriously, Lord, that I never smile. And others in my house are the same way, because I don't smile, they're not going to smile, and who wants to get near me? Maybe wisdom can make our marriage better. Maybe wisdom can, it may help us bury the hatchet with a family member or friend, and realize that really God does know what he's doing. Maybe it'll just help us be a better father, a better mother, a better friend, better son, better daughter. Wisdom can do all these things, but, and we know that Solomon wasn't the expert and wasn't a great one to look to in all ways. Neither was King David either. But you know what? God allowed Solomon to have that wisdom. And we know about some of the biggest decisions that were ever made that people talk about secularly today, still today, that Solomon made, using the wisdom that God gave him. And we have that same opportunity. Just because we're sitting here tonight doesn't mean we don't have an opportunity to be as wise as the next guy. God says it right here. It's simple. It's simple. Just those steps we just talked about here, mainly in chapter 1 of James, where it talks about ask God. Just like when we're getting saved. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a nothing. I need help. I need help making decisions. I need help. Please, Lord. Liberally. There it is. In faith. Just like when we got saved. In faith. nothing wavering in faith. I'm asking, Lord, I know you can deliver that wisdom because you told me you can. I believe, Lord, that you're going to give me the answer to what to do about this. Maybe tonight some of you have a decision that you need to make. I don't know. I didn't talk to anybody about it. A decision you might want to make, and you need to make, and you have to make, and you're avoiding it, and you don't know what to do. You're fretting about it. You don't know. You need some help with it. The help's right here in the book of James. Maybe someone here tonight will be closing shortly. Someone here tonight needs someone else here to get them across that finish line. Maybe someone here needs to get across that finish line. Maybe somebody, you know, dying from an illness, dying without Christ. Maybe little ones. Maybe their older ones are wandering. Maybe obtaining this godly wisdom, you may be of great help to someone who needs you, someone right now. Folks, the finish line is closer than you think it is. A lot closer than you think it is. Don't you want to be used? Don't you want to have this wisdom God's talking about? Come on forward tonight. You know, stop running the race without this wisdom from the earthly wisdom. But use the wisdom from above. Stop relying on yourself and just acknowledge that you need help. You need wisdom to lead your family, wisdom to direct your children. You need wisdom. You need help. Because you know what? Your decisions, your lousy record of making decisions isn't working really. It's not helping you. Jason.